3-to-1 Radio on 96.9 KODX. We're in your community, on the air, and in your ear. The show starts in 3, 2, 1.
Hey, welcome. This is Shiloh Jama here.
Lisal Hakim.
This is Shiloh Jama's evil twin brother.
So, thank you for...
Fair enough. I feel like that might be like crossed there. But. Yeah, totally.
Welcome to the show. We're just checking in what we've been doing in this summer. It's been a wonderful, cool, relaxing summer. But my big news is, since I haven't really been on the air for the last month, is one, I got to go to DC and got to, see the mall and talked to a couple legislatures, and so that was incredibly brutally hot.
Was it also boring?
Yeah, it had some boring things. There
was
some
I was going to say hot and humid, but I like where you're going.
There is some cool stuff. I ended up in a rainstorm just running into the first building I could find, and I was in the Natural History Museum. So, it was like win-win.
Is that the one that has the big diamond?
I don't know if it's a big diamond. There was a big, giant elephant or with tusks because I'm...
No, that's the Museum of the History of Greed.
Oh, yeah.
I think that one's my favorite one. Yeah. That's my favorite one.
That's my favorite. The other news is my biological father passed away, and we spread his ashes and my grandma's ashes in a nice little river in the Cascadian Mountains. It was a little somber, but it was also nice releasing into the river. And, hopefully their ashes will be the vitamins for some other trees and plants to come. Hopefully not too many invasive species. But
The circle of life.
But, Lisa, have you been bored this summer?
No, I don't think I've been bored. I think we all know I've been working. That's what I do. working. Yeah, since we were last on, I have been working. I started to do a podcast with my friend about wine, movies, and feminism.
Are you slightly cheating on us here?
A little bit. We haven't done our first one yet. We've done some practice, but I'll let you all know when we're actually going to be doing it.
You're leaving us.
No, there will be no leaving. This is just purely after work, ha-ha,
yeah.
sort of thing. Just something that I like to do, which is drink wine, watch movies, and feminism.
Shocking.
Right.
So lots of chick flicks?
Yeah, that's it, unicorn. Lots of chick flicks. Totally. I think our first movie is Witches of Eastwick.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, which is a movie, I'm not going to do my show right now, but I mean, it is interesting because it's like the end doesn't end in that way that every other movie does. We're like, in the end, I've fallen in love with the man, and I'm going to, go do the thing that I don't really want to do, but I guess I'm happy.
Right, and I haven't seen that movie in years. That would
be a
good one to rewatch.
Yeah.
Okay. On one of these cool summer nights that we have here.
Cool summer nights. So I'll be keeping you all updated on that, but that's probably the biggest news, other than I'm taking a trip with my entire family to Thailand.
Whoa,
which
wow.
Okay. going to be interesting because we're all... well into our adulthoods now. So that's the other. My brother's getting married. He's already married, but they're having their Thai portion of the wedding because his wife is Thai. So that is also something I'll be doing. But that's not till March. So I'll keep you updated on how awesome it is.
Very exciting. Well, I have been very busy working. I also have a very special guest who has been staying very close to me in my apartment building. My mother is in town. I think we just
Mother
passed,
Unicorn.
Mother Unicorn. We just passed our 2-week mark of a 6-week visit.
Ooh.
So we're having lots
are
of
fun.
Are
you counting the days of survival?
Your mom
are you like enjoying this?
Luckily, Mother Unicorn is a very, she's a great storyteller. So every night is filled with different stories.
That's important.
Some of which I've heard maybe 20 or 30 times, others that are brand new. but it's sort of like a walk down memory lane every night at dinner.
Territory,
which is good. It's good. It's good to be around family. And you know, she lives in Arizona where it's like super hot and oppressive.
Not like
so
here.
She came here.
Not hot and oppressive here.
Right,
at all.
So she could just enjoy the sweltering Seattle, no AC, smoky
day. Breathing
yeah, speaking
heavily.
About smoking, the weather has been crazy. I know I was in front of University District site just talking to some folks, and you know, I was starting to get worried for some of our mm-hmm. folks and that we access service from us and some of the low income homeless folks in the neighborhood. I mean, it was people were coughing up lungs,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
It was, I don't know how it's been where you guys have been, because we all kind of work together, but we all work in slightly different places.
I mean, it's been the same everywhere. It's been, there are like points in the day where it seems to get a lot worse, and then it sort of maybe, you're like, maybe it's clearing up. No, and then it just comes back down, and it's just, and the sun has been just that red, like.
The Armageddon
foreboding.
Sun.
Foreboding.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, working downtown, when I came up here this evening, it seemed a little bit heavier here in the U District. And
yeah.
I don't know.
We're lucky that way.
Exactly,
or higher up.
Right. But yeah, it seemed like it was a little bit more dense down
just
here.
Just oppressive.
I will say, as I'm getting older and larger in stature, that I'm not a big fan of this heat. Like, it's just, it's taking its toll.
It's just healthy glow.
You're right.
Glow.
You're right.
It's fine.
I feel like I'm slip sliding through the city with my sweat. Well,
you know, I'm someone who has asthma, and I know a lot of people who have respiratory issues. Mm-hmm. It's like, it can be brutal, you
oh,
know?
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know. This is someone who's from Seattle, and maybe this will be a little egotistical. But it's, I don't remember it being this oppressive, and I don't remember it being this, you know, I don't remember these forest fires like happening year after year after year. Now, there was definitely times when we had forest fires. I mean, we had a Mount St. Helens explode.
Yeah.
Well, there was that.
That was probably a little bit.
You know, and so, but it just seems like, you know, this concept of global warming is definitely hitting Seattle.
I thought that there was no such thing as global warming.
Yeah, I thought that was
just
fake
a
news.
Conspiracy thing.
No, really? I mean, last...
No comments.
No comments. Last year was pretty terrible, too, though. You remember last year? It did the same thing. It was like, you know... And I mean, just like walking up here, seeing an older man, like, just struggling to walk because he's just like, it's hot and you can't breathe properly.
So you were singing a song called Older Man while you were walking?
Did I say singing? I said saw.
Oh, I thought you said
she was sawing him down. And she was sawing them in half. It was this whole big bit.
Okay. I was actually looking forward to like a solo. I thought you'd be singing today.
No, just sometimes I have a lisp. I don't know if you can tell.
Oh.
But it's a thing that I have.
Okay.
It's not as bad as it used to be.
No, I didn't notice.
So I used to say my own name and be like, Letha. that was how I said it. So We've corrected that. Actually, getting a barbell in my tongue really helped with that. And then I took it out years later because teeth are expensive and it chips them. And then the lisp never came back in that same way, luckily. So I corrected it myself.
Wow, the things you learn.
Yeah.
Really? I just to circle back, I will agree with you. Having lived here for 20 some odd years, the summers have definitely gotten hotter mm-hmm. and a little bit more intense. And the winters, you know, are just like a roll of the dice. Either it's going to be sort of mild or it's going to be lots of snow or lots of rain. But definitely I've seen a switch in the summer.
I mean, yeah. I just remember before the forest fires, and this is just me, and this is where we're going down the rabbit hole of the boring city life, is, you know, when it gets to be around August like this, I start, once I get off work, I dart to Lake Washington, and there's different spots that I like to go swim in docks.
Mm-hmm.
And run in and jump in and swim for a little bit and talk to the other people who have done the exact same thing. And, you know, I didn't look like there was a nuclear winter happening above us.
Well, you know, the other day I was so hot, and I live in White Center, so the closest beach to me is like the Puget Sound. So I actually went down there because I was like, well, it's like 5 minutes away. And it was like super seaweedy and very hot. And I just went up into there with my knees and was like, this is as far as I'm going and it's disgusting, but I don't even care. And I was standing there and I looked around and everyone's just looking at me like, what are you doing? I'm like, yes, I'm standing in here. And I came out and I was covered in seaweed and it was you know, but those are the prices you pay to get cool.
I guess the first summer that I lived up here, there was some sort of crisis on Lake Washington with duck poop.
Oh, yeah.
And so I remember, like, it was super, super hot. And so my roommate at the time was like, oh, we got to just, we'll go to Lake Washington. We'll dive in. We'll pick up some chicks. And I was like, I don't think I want to pick up chicks. But okay. We get to the beach, which is, in my head, not really a beach because it's grass and not sand. So that was confusing to begin with. And we got in and we were watching swimming and it was all these ducks and it was fine and it was great. And then we got back to our apartment and we were watching the news and there was this like health alert about duck poop. And I was like, where did I move to? What have I done?
They just had a huge like norovirus outbreak in Kitsap County at a lake. There was like 150 people who got super sick from swimming.
Oh no.
Like that's the worst. That's just the worst thing. Like it's super hot. It's sweltering out. You want to swim, and now you're going to get really sick.
Well, like, what's like Green Lake? The concept of the Green Lake itch is like, you know, like it is not healthy swimming water. And every year I see kids like swimming in it. And
they have a dock there with a diving board. Like, I feel like they encourage swimming. I mean, I don't know if that's
I don't
still
think
there.
Green Lake has the diving board.
They used
it?
To.
They, I think they do.
Oh, they do? They oh, yeah, still, yeah they I do. They do, but it's only in there. I don't know if it's like in the summers they bring it out or whatever.
But it's still like. It's just a tiny sort of lake that's really gross and full of geese poop and duck poop.
Oh, trust me, I don't even think that's the worst part
in
there.
And didn't they find the like the rebar sticking out of there a few years ago or whatever it was, like the spikes at the bottom of Green Lake? You remember that story?
No.
You remember that?
Yeah. I don't swim in natural
water.
It
was on the news, Unicorn. It was just required watching the news.
Okay.
That's all it was. But yeah, no, they had these. Apparently, they're finding these sort of spikes, and people were jumping in and hitting them. And
ooh. It was so. Then it turned into the Red Lake instead of the Green Lake.
I guess.
Ouch! The Red Lake.
Like, not only do you get the itch, but you also get impaled.
Yeah.
So, do you really do you want a chance in swim in that lake?
Yeah. Well, you know, also like speaking of news, like, you know, I think there's been a lot of talks about like how people get their news and mm-hmm. what news sources they get it and what news sources they trust. And, you know, our wonderful president talks a lot about fake news.
Oh, that guy. Okay.
And so, you know, it's something that I've been thinking about, you know, talking about like the news you're watching and stuff like that around duck poop. apparently you have a thing for poop-related news stories.
It's not my fault that that's what's on. And by the way, that is what caused the Kitsap County Lake norovirus was somebody having some loose stool in the lake. So apparently, maybe I do have an obsession. Yeah, I don't know.
And I just like to say, it was a loose stool.
Well,
that could be fake news.
I mean, you know.
But Shiloh, where do you get your news? What sources are you tapping these days?
It's weird. I've been watching more CNN, and the reason being that I feel like, you know, we have we end up with that being the most neutral news sources, even though they seem to be in this huge fight with the president.
Well, who isn't these days? I think even Fox News.
Yeah,
Fox News.
I just wanted to say her name.
I mean, like the BBC is also another source I listen to.
Yeah,
I've honestly stopped listening to KUOW because it's really become like this shock radio in a real way that it's kind of heartbreaking because you know it's one of those places I did used to listen to, but I just don't anymore. And I also like
is the shock on some of the different shows that they broadcast or on just like the local news?
It's very like overly dramatic local stuff that's happening. And I'm getting tired. And you know, maybe this is a long tangent and I want to hear where you guys get your news because I just get
long tangent in 5-4.
I get tired of this like. My side good, your side bad, because I think there's more grays in there, and I feel like we are in this real hostile place, and so I do want to hear like what conservative movements are talking about. I do want to hear that perspective. I also want to hear how things are what people on the left are listening to and talking about, because I think we need to somehow get together. And I know we have a political system that is very hostile. We're about to go into a midterm election, which will be a crazy, mm-hmm. out of control thing where, you know, even trying to get logistical news that is, you know, I don't really think there is an unbiased news, but.
Well, I mean, I think it's like everything gets overshadowed by the social issues that are currently happening. Like, you're not going to tune into a show and get sort of the regular, like, oh, this is how we feel fiscally and this is how I feel about this. I mean, it is all about social issues right now. That's what it's about. So when you say things like, oh, conservative and, oh, you know, left, like, you're thinking, people immediately go to, like, alt-right, like, you know, Proud Boys. Like, they start thinking those things instead of, like, you know, how it used to be. You just be like, oh, it's like this way or that way, but it wasn't specifically with to do with, like, a social movement per se. I mean,
yeah, there used to be like downtown, after WTO, there was that alternative news almost station, and lots of people doing their own reporting, and you know, and it really almost, that was like, you know, blogs, all this stuff will start coming later. And, you know, I feel like I started getting much more news. I mean, I honestly think I get more accurate news talking to the street kids in the Ave about what's happening in the U District than I do from anywhere else.
Well, you get some good, like,
you get the local news.
Yeah, the local news. That's what I'm saying.
So,
do you think that the tide has changed because of the, how to put it, since we're on air and I don't want to get fined anything?
How do you put it?
Right? Our president, or the president, I'll say, his need for always being in the news, attention. And always one-upping, mm-hmm. and the intention, and sort of the, like, this has got to be the hot story right now that everybody's talking about, that has sort of bumped everybody's sort of level of, you know, how we're presenting the news up, so that it is more sensational, that it is more like, oh, we've got to be fire and brimstone so that people are tuning in.
Right. Well, and it turns the whole tide of the whole conversation of everybody, you know?
Right. So you're not really talking about an issue, but you're really framing whatever the issue is in a dramatic, crazy way.
Well, and it's all, you know, it's all about power. Like, ooh, I can turn everybody's conversation to this. I have the power to do this over all these people. I mean, don't tell me that probably doesn't make him smile at night. I'm sure it does.
You know, I don't know if I've ever seen him smile.
Well, I mean, he's trying, maybe.
With those little duck lips.
Oh, that's enough. Let's not talk about him. There's enough about him.
But I do think there is this danger, right? And I think, there is media out there that is, one, factually incorrect and misleading, right? And there is.
Let's call it like it is. They lie.
Yeah, they lie. And they're, you know.
And they're biased. I mean, news used to be, was supposed to be unbiased. I mean,
it's always been a little biased.
Sure, of course, because you're always going to have that because a human is reporting it. But
yeah, and I don't mind people in the news saying, "Hey, here's our perspective," mm-hmm. right? And this is what you're going to get from us. You know, the thing that gets for me scary is, like, you know, that article in Libya around people who are actually being enslaved, right? Mm-hmm. And it's something as being a white American from the United States. I feel like we have an obligation to the world to fight against slavery in every possible way, you know, we can do. And, you know, then you have them saying, oh, look, it's fake news because CNN reported it, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's heartbreaking to think that Americans are not going to do everything possible to end the slave trade, knowing our long history.
Well, and people are that gullible to just believe it at face value. Oh, well. They said it was fake news, so it must be.
Right.
You know? It's not just Colville, but it's the president of the United States. Because
what I'm saying.
You should be able to, I mean, obviously everything the president says is going to be his own agenda. But, like, you should believe when the president is saying this is not true, there should be some facts backing that up.
Well, there aren't any, but people don't want facts anymore. I mean, they don't care about facts anymore, it seems like. Or they don't believe the source which the facts are coming from. And, you know, we could go on about social media and how that pertains to it all day long. But, right. I mean, where are the facts? That's the whole thing. Where do you get your facts? How do you know they're facts? How do you know that the news source that you are, you know, taking in have their broadcast based in facts? You don't know. I mean, they're biased. Fox News is biased and CNN is biased. And They're all biased now. That's
to some
not...
degree, but I think I always look for balance, right? So yeah.
You have to find your own.
Where is the newscaster or the reporter or the commentator that's going to clearly have a point of view, but also have an opposing point of view also represented and given equal opportunity to speak, sure. And also in a very respectful way. One of my favorite places to get news or listen to news or listen to news shows is, I still listen to NPR quite a bit.
So do I.
Definitely during the day. And one of my favorite shows is The 1A, hosted by Joshua Johnson. I'm sure you're not listening, but if you are, shout out
did
to you.
Did you just plug?
I did, totally, because I'm a nerd.
You have a radio crush?
Right. I do, kind of. He's cute, and he's gay.
Hey, double whammy.
But he's got a partner, and so do I, so.
Well, you know.
Sorry, Scott. But he has had multiple shows on different topics of things that are in the news, and he makes it a point to really have, like, that balance on the show. So there'll be, like, an ultra-conservative or a member of the alt-right, or there was a show recently on, like, education, and so there were, like, Super Betsy DeVos supporters versus, like, old-school supporters. And so it helped me form more of an opinion for myself, listening
well,
to the different...
Well, that's forming your own opinion.
Right, and listening to different voices, speaking on the same topic with equal amounts of passion and fervor for what they believe in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean, I also listen to NPR. I watch BBC in the mornings. That's my morning news time. Because I like, BBC. Yeah, you know, I'm like world news. I want to know what's going on. And like, I think I want minimal like DT on my television screen right in the morning. Like I just want to have my coffee and not see that immediately.
DT?
Like, you know, the president.
Oh, that okay. No, I like that. I'm gonna start using that.
It just can't come out of my mouth. It's like seeing that before coffee. It's difficult for me.
That is a tough one. My problem with BBC, and I love BBC, but there's something programmed within my brain, and this is a little insight into me for the listeners. The British accent puts me to sleep.
Oh,
and so
like a lullaby.
I can't listen to that first thing in the morning, or I would just be right back in bed. If ever
NPR, like you know, KOW doesn't put you to sleep. but you know.
I will say there's a lot of monotone voices on NPR.
But there's something about like the British accent, like it's so elegant, it's just so sweet, it's so lullaby. I think that's a great way to put it. I have a podcast that I listen to. Only if I wake up in the middle of the night and I can't fall back to sleep, I put it on and it's all about British history spoken by British people. 5 minutes into it, I'm
I think
out.
It's depending on which British people are speaking, because I listen to some podcasts with some Cockney accents and
that's different.
that's not different.
We're talking about, I think, and proper I have to concentrate, British.
Right.
Yeah. I have to like concentrate just to make sure I understand what they're saying.
Yeah, it's a little rough. It's a little rough, but.
Yeah, this is more like the tweed suit with a pipe. By
very
a fireplace
proper English.
With like a weird looking dog.
The Queen's English, in fact.
Probably.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. But yeah, puts me down.
Yeah.
Whew, better than Benadryl.
I don't know. I like it in the morning, and I like how I can like select if I want to do 15 minutes or 30 minutes, depending on how much time I have. I have a little app on my TV that lets me do that. It's pretty cool.
Nice.
And then I do the Daily Star, which is a Lebanese newspaper. And I also at times, we'll watch Al Jazeera.
Yeah, I mean, like...
But I kind of go all over the place. I just sort of... I mean, I think with the gray area, it's like, that's up to you. You have to make your own judgment about what you're getting. You have to watch a lot of different things, read a lot of different things, and then make your own judgment.
Well, and also want things with opposing views.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because... And I think there's different subjects that I listen to about different things. You know, I don't know if I would, like... You know, like if I'm trying to hear the Republican perspective, you know, or the Libertarian perspective of Washington, I'm not listening to NPR, right? You know, to be perfectly frank, you know.
Though they do give them a voice.
Kind of. I mean, they're very Democratic-leaning, you know, and they, you know, that's fine. I mean, that's their strategy, and that's
like, you know,
their
what you're getting into. Like,
yeah,
you listen,
you
know, to NPR, though. You know,
you know, if I want to hear like what the King County Republicans think on a particular issue, right? I'll read their newsletter, and or I'll, you know, they have emails that they send out, and I'll read those on particular issues. And you know, like, for example, not to go down the rabbit hole of politics, you know, certain issues that they that has come up in our city council, they had very strong beliefs on, and it was good to read theirs and why they were against it. Not to necessarily that I would always agree with their perspective, but at least understand where they're coming from. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I mean, you know, it's like I said before, I think it's rough for people these days trying to go and be like, I want to like listen to the other side, because the other side is very loud and hateful. But also the opposing side is also loud, too. So you don't have a lot of the middle ground. You just get a lot of like yelling and a lot of white noise there. So I think it's hard for people. And then they kind of get into this box where like, I don't want to listen to the opposing view because they just have hate and they just yell and I don't want to. You know, and they,
it's different than mine.
And it's different than mine. And people are also, they operate differently when processing news. And I mean, that's part of it, is you get so much news all day long.
Yeah.
From so many sources, especially on social media, that your brain can't even process it. I mean, you don't even have enough time to sit down and think, what do I think about this? Let's process this. This, you start doing that, and there's another story, and there's another story, and there's another story. And you can't even remember what you read about yesterday. You're kind of left in this thing where you're like, okay, I know I was concerned about five different things yesterday, but now like 20 things are coming and, you know, like scanning across your eyes every 2 seconds.
Like Omarosa.
Yeah.
I got her in twice.
Yeah, except for you, I think that's like stands out for you. But do you want to talk about Omarosa?
I don't. No, but, I think it's just a fun name to say.
But okay. I mean, for me, it's like this. It's like a lot of the conservative speakers who are, I think some of which are intentionally trying to offend people, going to university campuses. Like, I think some of the protesters play into their hands of like, definitely, hey, they're trying to silence my voice. They don't believe in free speech, you know? And I think if you just sat there and let them speak, you know, I think the vast majority of Americans would not support or even identify with some of their bigoted language. And I think you would be able to, it wouldn't be the big deal that it would be. And I think in a lot of, there's a lot of protesters who come on both sides who aren't from the communities of which they're protesting. You know, I know in the U district, it wasn't a whole bunch of U district people and students battling it out. It was people from Portland. It was people from all over, you know, and we just became, our neighborhood became this battleground, you know, and it is something that I don't like. I don't like watching violence happen in my neighborhood because of, you know, people coming from outside of our neighborhood and our city to... That are looking for a fight. Yeah. And if they want to fight, then, like, find some wooded area and, you know, get the medics there and just go at it and be done with it if that's what you want. Or do a pay-per-view, like, you know.
Do a pay-per-view. Oh, my God.
Be the American. You can do fundraising. 50% share on each side.
Well, you know, I mean, yeah. I mean, I get where you're coming from. But I also think, like, it's rough when you've got, like, somebody out there Zig Heiling and saying crazy stuff. And especially, you know, if you're a person of color, if you're, you know, just anything that is like the focal point of that group, it's really hard to sit there and be like, I'm just going to let them talk and I'm not going to say anything. It's hard for me. Like, I get an uncontrollable, like, urge to just totally lose it and freak out, you know? And it's like,
right.
It's hard to control that when you're that target population that they want to hurt or they want to kill or they don't like.
Or they want to just keep suppressing.
Or they want to.
Yeah, I mean, like, I did not say it was easy. And I also did not say, you know, I think there, a lot of what they say is BS. I can't say too many words on the radio. But I also feel like.
Letters are good.
Yeah, I also feel like, you know, I would be interested in something that I think both sides don't seem to want to get into is, you know, some of those speakers, like, I would be very interested to have debates on both sides. Like, do a debate. You know, do like have people on both sides like really debate their values and their issues, because what I scares me is this idea that the other side is bad because they're from the other side, and this sense of America is on the verge of destruction if the other side wins. And it's even more than that. It's not even winning. For you to win, you have to make sure the other side loses. And I understand that our politics have always been divided. I'm not ignorant. I've read history. It is disheartening, you know, for someone who is married, probably going to have a family soon. Watching.
Do you have an announcement tonight?
No.
Okay. Not tonight.
Just thought I would.
and to see this country realistically tearing itself apart and really doing things that are not even its own best interest on both sides, right?
It's the self-destruction thing, you know.
But here's where I think that your idea of like a debate on core values and views. How I see that playing out successfully is that if there's no audience, because when I see debates and I see these rallies and the speakers are really, they're speaking for applause. They're speaking for chance. They're speaking for how many likes am I going to get on Facebook from so-and-so and so-and-so that filmed this. Mm-hmm. But if it was really just like, okay, Shiloh Jama and evil Shiloh Jama's twin are going to just have a debate. And it can be broadcast, it can be filmed, it can be shown, but it's really like the two of us are going to talk and talk it out without the crowds cheering, without the lock 'em ups and the this and that. And
I mean, I think what you're going to get violent reaction if you have a crowd and you've got, that's been going on forever. Right? You remember when, I think it was in the early 80s when they had the... on the Oprah show, I think they were on Oprah.
Geraldo.
They were on two different shows.
I remember watching the Geraldo episode with the chair.
Yeah, the chair.
Great.
So
TV.
They had like the Nazis on and the Klansmen and like all those people. And then they had the neo-Nazis on. And then they had like the, in the audience, there were some anti-racist skinheads, which people might not know about that. But just go on the internet and Google it. It's a British thing. So they were sharp skins. So... skinheads against racial prejudice. Anyhow, they got in a fight with the neo-Nazis. So anyway, there's a chair thrown. I think it hit
Geraldo. Geraldo broke his nose.
Right.
Yep.
But they were on another show too around the same time. And I was trying to remember who it was, but I can't remember.
Probably
it was
like Donahue.
It wasn't
or like
Donahue.
Sally Jesse Raphael.
It was another. It was something like that. But anyway, the whole point is they tried to like have these groups that feel so completely different from each other come together to talk, and that ended in violence. Ironically, from the outside, for sort of normal people, they would look and be like, these are the same type of people, you know? And so it was just a really crazy thing. And I mean, I know people who were like in that audience, and they were just like, it was the, you know, I don't know what they expected. And that's the thing. They're
right.
Like, I don't know what they expected. They put super anti-racist people in the same room as Ku Klux Klan people and neo-Nazis, and then they expected things to go calmly.
With an audience and a camera in front of them.
And some chairs. Because we all know what happened with chairs later on, you know.
It's the most deadliest weapon in professional wrestling.
But those aren't real.
The folding chair.
The folding chair.
The folding chair.
That's the one thing I find always hilarious about professional wrestling. It's like
folding
the way
of
they
death.
They just go like, it's a chair.
Running at you like, no. Or the ladder. I mean, chairs and ladders.
He has a ladder.
Which I heard earlier this week, a professional wrestler, I think from the 80s. And I'm not going to remember his name because I didn't know who he
got elected. Is that?
No, he passed away.
Oh.
And so then I was like, I don't know this name. So I Googled and then I saw all these old pictures of like Hulk Hogan and all these people that I used to
Jake
watch when
Snake
I was a kid. Somebody the Giant.
Oh, yeah. Andre the Giant. Rick Flair, the Nature Boy.
The Nature Boy, Rick Flair.
Were like,
okay, so there was a time in my life, or maybe I was nerding out on this. But
I did too.
Okay,
I have
sleepovers
and I'd be like, I rented this video from the video store.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah. We just went off on our... We need to bring this back because we just went off on a wrestling tangent.
Yeah.
I stopped watching it, though, when they got the NWO... The New World Order. Oh, that was much later.
Okay.
They went from WWF to NWO.
Yes,
like
yeah, it was WWF. And I can honestly say I think I started watching, I got into the wrestling for completely different reasons than most little boys my age. Because I was like, ooh, yeah.
I wonder if they have, right. You know how they have like the wrestling like groups that are sort of kind of on par with like current political issues. I wonder who's on wrestling these days. Like, I wonder if there's a weird like Proud Boys group and then they like, I don't know.
I'm sure.
I mean, I'm going to have to watch.
I've seen an episode of your new podcast.
Oh my goodness.
Feminist Wine and Wrestling.
This is, we're changing it up. Yeah. We're no more movies. We're just doing wrestling.
So, you know, speaking of perspectives and history and stuff like that, there was an anniversary of, you know, the bombing of Hiroshima. And it really,
Nagasaki.
Yeah. And it, you know, we have the biggest memorial outside of Japan, because we have a lot of Japanese population here.
And where is that memorial?
It's in Green Lake, and they do the little candles, and they cover Green Lake. And so it's.
I don't believe I've ever saw it.
So. Oh, really? It's really when you see it at dusk and the whole thing lit up. It's truly amazing. You should Google some pictures of the Green Lake one, and it's very big, powerful. When you think of peace. And you also think of all the people who passed away. Mm-hmm. I have a tough perspective because I feel like what we ended up with from that war is, you know, we've kind of separated Nazis and Germans, and we kind of like
did we? Yeah, we did.
And we vilified Nazis and we, you know, Germany, but like Japan, it's the, you know, the imperial, you know, they had their government didn't change that much from the wartime Japan and modern day Japan.
They did change a decent amount.
They still have the emperor. They still have a lot of that stuff.
But the way they function, I mean, it's just like the royal family.
Yeah, but it's the way they function. But remember, like, that was...
I'm not saying 100%.
Let's be honest. In Japan committed genocide in places in China and in, you know, lots of occupied areas. They were incredibly brutal. And I'm not to say that the Allies did not do horrible acts in the act of war.
I think that's what we're talking about. I think we're talking about us doing a horrible act. That's the whole...
Yeah, and, you know... And people always, like, talk about why didn't we do Tokyo? Because we'd already bombed it to dust, you know? Look at a picture of Tokyo and look at a picture of Nagasaki, and you will not be able to tell the difference.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is like every nation who's a little powerful or has fought in any war has committed genocide. Like, let's be real.
Or is trying to become powerful.
Yeah. I mean that's what war's
not
about.
A pretty thing. You know, no matter what side.
Whatever it is, I mean, that was a very long time ago. I mean, it's fresh on people's minds, and people did live through it who still are alive today. But, you know, I think, like you said, it's important to like remember it. And also, it's important to learn from it and not go there again.
But I think there is a difference between, incredible rape and torture, and like concentration camps, mm-hmm. right? There's a difference between the concentration camps of Nazi Germany and the internment of the Japanese in the United States. Both were bad and horrible, and we should never do either. But we weren't systematically exterminating the Japanese population that we interned. I'm not saying it was good. I think it's horrible. I think it's the black mark on American history. But we didn't exterminate the population of Japanese residents of the United States.
Well, exterminating and leaving people with trauma that lasts their entire life. I mean... I don't know. It's like comparing one to the other. Yes, you know,
thinking apples to oranges here?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I feel like if somebody who's Middle Eastern and comes from a country who there's a lot of people who have trauma, like just really serious trauma, just from like constantly being in bombing shelters, constantly having their homes raided, constantly. Sometimes they feel like, do I even want to go on doing this anymore? You know, so I don't know. If it's comparable, I mean, it's comparable on the surface, but when you get down to it, it's like you took everything from people and it still happens every single day. And then you put them you know, through one of the worst things they've probably ever gone through. And then it's like supposed to be okay on the other side. I don't know. I just, for me, my perspective, and obviously these are all opinions from us. But yeah, I mean, I think that trauma can be a really, trauma can be a really serious thing that can like ruin your entire life. In this, I mean, so I'm not saying it's like death is the answer. I'm just saying that trauma is a close second to a terrible thing that can happen to you.
Well, and I think, I mean, I think you both have made some really important points. And one being, you know, remembering what has happened and acknowledging that it's happened and that it's terrible, but also learning from it. And I just keep thinking, and as we're talking about this, as what's going on currently in the United States, and around borders and separations from families, and how traumatic and how horrible that is, and how, like, wow, didn't we learn our lesson when we had internment camps? And how do we see this as being a good thing and a positive thing and a thing that is gonna, you know, uplift the values of the country that we live in and fight for?
I mean, I think the basis is if you're hurting other people, it's probably not a good idea. You know, I don't know.
So that is the lesson for tonight's show, folks. It's probably, if you're hurting people, it's probably not a good
idea. I think we can all get behind that. I don't know.
I think
personally.
I agree with that one.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, it's about history and education and knowledge, because there's many massacres and there's many, whether you call them genocides or not, that have existed in this world that are still not, people still have not apologized for, acknowledged.
Or know about.
Or know about, you know, yeah. And throughout the world. And, you know, some that are very close to, you know, this country and, you know, the systematic destruction of First Nation people. Mm-hmm. And the, you know, burning down of the International District. I mean, a lot of Seattleites probably don't know that white mobs have, you know, attacked and killed Chinese and Japanese Americans who were just trying to survive, you know, and part of this town's history, just as the general strike is this town's history. You know, I think there's lots of things that, you know, has happened that we forget. And I think we like to point as those people are bad and those people are good. And it's not as easy, and it's a lot more complicated than that. And I think, you know, I think there is a difference between discrimination and mass genocide. I think, but we also need to remember all of it. And we need to try our best to build a better country and, you know, remember how we should always reach for the stars and try to be a better world and a better country. And, you know, like we talked about earlier, I feel one of our values of this country is to be incredibly anti-slavery, knowing that we enslaved the population in this country. And I think we should learn from that. We should educate people around that. And we should oppose slavery in every capacity, everywhere in the world. And if we're supposed to be the police of the world, that's something I would be totally acceptable for us to be the police about.
We haven't been doing a good job. I'm just saying, though, if that's the case, we're not doing a good job.
We haven't, and I think part of it is that I think people get really uncomfortable having these types of conversations, sure. Right? Admitting that, you know, me personally, I have not been involved in that, but my ancestors and my ancestors and my mm-hmm, ancestors, mm-hmm. And that somehow talking about it and acknowledging it and, you know, discussing it in a civil way somehow then paints me as the bad person or you as the bad person. And people don't generally want to go there.
Yeah.
You know, they want to talk about
it's hard.
Omarosa.
They just want to say the name
Third time.
No, they don't want to go there because it's hard.
It is.
I mean, and nobody wants to talk about things that are hard. But hey, that's why we're here, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know.
But only semi-hard.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. We, at the People's Harm Reduction Alliance, we work with lots of people who have trauma. Yes. And we work with a lot of people who are in crisis.
Yes.
And they get told every day how much they're bad and worthless and mm-hmm. this and that and places that they aren't supposed to be and they're never told where they can be, and they're never told that they're loved, and they're always told what they're doing wrong, not what they're doing right. Mm-hmm. And it causes serious damage. And we play this game of like, hey, you go and get treatment, even though there's not a lot of treatment available for folks, you know, and how...
Or there's treatment available, but just not for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Not for your type of person.
Well, and it's also like, you know, think of how many years did People's Harm Reduction Alliance and the Youth District Needle Exchange have to fight in order to get a CBC Suboxone clinic next to it, you know? How many people had to die in order for that to happen? And people every day told our community, you know, get treatment, get sober, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. And it's just like, you know, I feel like it's just so brutal and so mean-spirited. And I actually don't believe the drug war happened by accident. I think it's very targeted, and I think it was very designed to cause pain and suffering. And as American, I'm very ashamed of that. And I feel like we do amazing work. And to be perfectly honest, you know, I know I'm kind of going on a little soapbox, but like, we get a lot of NIMBY attacks, and we get a lot of death threats, and we get a lot of people using intimidation. And then on the flip side, we have a lot of people in harm reduction who say, why are you doing pipe distributions? Why are you doing this? Why can't you just be quiet and go into your little box and not say anything? Because the world doesn't change if you're quiet. We don't really have a citywide conversation about drugs and drug use. And we don't try to make having a conversation with the general population about why these services are important. And, you know, like, why we do pipe distributions, because Europe has proved that it works. It's really successful. When I was in Portugal, young people did not inject, right? They smoked. And you can talk about all the problematics with smoking and long-term effects, but you're probably not going to get HIV through smoking. You're probably not going to get hepatitis C through smoking. And those are two diseases that it seems to be like that everyone seems to care about. And we have helped solve that by just providing pipes. And we have to do it through beg and borrow, you know, just to be able to pull that off. And so, you know, I just feel like we're consistently adding trauma to Americans that we don't have to. And, you know, it's layered with, you know, if you're a woman on the streets, you know, statistically, it's not if, it's when you're going to be sexually assaulted. You know, men too, a huge population of them are going to be sexually assaulted on the streets. And the fact that we're not doing everything we can to get people off the streets and get people into a safe space.
But we need to be building more condos.
No, I mean, but that's the missing link. Like, we have the Suboxone program now, but we're like, okay, like, here, get on Suboxone. But, you know, just keep living on the street, because there's nowhere for you to go.
And hopefully you'll be able to hold on to your
And hopefully you'll be all right, though, right? Thumbs up. You know, I mean, it's just ridiculous. Like, you can't give this part of the puzzle, this part of the puzzle, and then that middle piece is just not there, you know? And so I think that, you know, just giving, like, it's awesome that we have this other service. And that is really, that's rad, because it's like, you don't have to tell people now, sorry, no treatment, sorry, no housing. You can be like, okay, treatment, but they're still like, sorry, no housing, you know? And now they want to penalize the people who providing housing for not providing enough housing when there's no housing. It's just ridiculous. Like, you know, like, don't punish the people who are providing services because you made it impossible to provide housing. It's just ridiculous. Yeah. So anyhow.
Well, and I do think the most harm reduction thing you can do for someone is house them.
Yeah.
And Pugel, our former police chief, said this best. No one cares if you're smoking crack in your house. They care if you're smoking crack on the street.
Right.
That's some realness right there.
Right.
It's true.
I mean, and so, you know, the problem with drugs is poverty. You know, people using, and, you know, you can go to the wire about, like, you know, there's no brown paper bag for drugs. And I think, you know, we need to solve these problems, and we need to be holistic. And I think we need to have people sit around the table, and, you know, you're not going to get everything you want, but, you know, these The citizens of Seattle are heavily drug users, whether it be caffeine, alcohol, marijuana, heroin, methamphetamine. This city uses drugs. That's and, true. You know, the drug rates do not change. The drug use rates do not change whether or not you sit in Wallingford, Ballard, Columbia City, the University District, Belltown. Or downtown, Belltown. You don't think the above in all those condos, there's people getting high, you know?
I can't walk down Fourth Avenue without getting a contact high from either somebody that's homeless, smoking a joint on the street, or filtering down from somebody's like high-rise condo.
Everyone's smoking weed,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah.
That's true. You just drive through a neighborhood and you're like, ooh, there
but
it
I
is.
But I think one of the things is that people are, you know, my drug is more acceptable or is mm-hmm. better than your drug. And so then you get into that, like, well, whose drug's better? And my drug is legal, then I'm a better person than you because I use it and it's sanctioned versus, well, you have to go in a back alley and buy yours.
But I mean, look at the stigma towards marijuana. Everyone here lived in the city when it was illegal, right? And there was that stigma and you're a drug user and this and this. Now that it's legal and it's been legal for several years, you know, people walking down the street smoking ganja, they're not like, oh, look, there's that criminal. There's that drug user. What changed? Just the laws.
Right.
So, but speaking of dates and times and trying to get things done, we have some events that we'd like to pitch for you. So take it away, people.
All right. I guess I'll go first. So we just thought we might be like, hey, get out of this crappy air. Go somewhere. And support people who support us. So I just wanted to shout out to Jeffrey, because he's doing a comedy set tonight at the Lumberyard in White Center, which is my neighborhood. And it starts at 8, and I will be there. So if you want to meet me in person, yeah, I'm not popular, I know. Come on down.
She is a real-life person.
I will be riding my motorcycle. It will be epic. So you should come down definitely and support Jeffrey. Jeffrey hosts our Stand Up for Harm Reduction benefit that we do every year, which pulls in a lot of money for People's Harm Reduction Alliance. And he is also known as the gay uncle. So if you know about the gay uncle, that's where he's going to be tonight. So I would encourage you to go.
And that is a golden syringe recipient.
Yes,
gay
it
uncle.
Is. Oh. Yes, it is.
He got the golden syringe of excellence for bringing love and compassion and comedy to communities in need.
So we're plugging it. That's right. Do you have something to plug, Unicorn?
I do. I have a plug for an awesome event that's coming up on August 23rd, which is a Monday night at 7:30. It's called Sandbox Radio, and it is a great evening filled with fun stories, and it's sort of like a radio format where people are acting out the things that you will hear on the radio. So it's sort of like with that Pray Home Companion or one of those shows. But there's a very talented local playwright who has, I think, one or two pieces in it. His name is Scott Augustin, and he's real cute, and I share a bed with him.
Ooh.
And he's going to have a piece. So again, it's Monday, August 27th at 7:30. You can buy tickets at dreamalittledream.brownpapertickets.com. That's Sandbox Radio.
Ooh, that was nice. That was smooth.
I might get a little action tonight.
You're not going to throw an Omarosa at the end, are you?
More time! I would just like to pitch people, you know, winters can be dark and sad in this town. And so I encourage people to not just hide indoors and to get out and do something regardless of when it is. You can go in sunrise or sun or dusk, but go out there and see one of the wonderful parks we have. Go out there and engage this wonderful city because the winter is coming.
Also, go to fundraisers for nonprofits because we don't have money and we need it. So you should definitely check out the People's Harm Reduction Alliance Facebook page because that's where we post most of our events. But we do have one coming up in the kind of crappy part of fall, winter. So awards dinner.
Yes, we'll be doing that the first weekend in December, and tickets are going to go on sale soon. As soon as I can get around to posting them on our website.
We'll plug it next time.
Yeah, and so, and it's our big awards dinner. It's a lot of fun. We give out awards from all the way from the Allegro Community Award, which is for businesses and churches who go above and beyond, all the way to activism awards, to the Drug User of the Year Award, you know. So it's a lot of fun, and it'll be really special. And there might be an announcement there about possible changes at PRA.
You also can gorge yourself on Thai food.
Yes, gorge yourself on Thai food.
So that's important to know.
Good.
So and
included,
you know,
in ticket.
Yeah. Hopefully there might be a little expansion happening at PRA.
I like expansion.
Let's keep our fingers crossed. I have one more plug, if I may.
Yes.
Yes.
I'd like everyone to keep on listening to 96.9 FM KODX LP because it's a great radio station.
It is. I'll agree with that. I'll agree with that.
Hey, they put up with us.
That's so
right. Once a month.
And they are, and trust me, I can tell you this, it's a rough go for the person who's doing the board.
Also, I think I've lost like 3 pounds while sitting in here.
You know, yeah. It is somewhat like a sauna, it's like except a nice, we're all dressed, which is okay. I'm not advocating nudity, but it
I can verify that there is no naked people here, but that it is...
Naked under the
it is though. The F sun up in here.
Yeah, yeah.
Letters are our friends. We do not want to get any fines. But yes, keep listening to this radio station because it brings you great local talent and awesome people. So that's my plug, my last plug.
Yeah, and keep listening to us because we're going to be on every month now.
Once a month. We'll be doing the
third
Wednesday of the month from 6 to 7. And you know what we forgot to do? We forgot to tell everybody where Kevin's at.
Well, he's gone.
He disappeared.
Yeah.
But I know people, we got lots of fan mail wondering where he was in the last show.
So if you
show.
See him, let us know.
Right.
last time we heard from him, he was driving a motorcycle in Amarillo, Texas.
Okay.
All right.
Well, we wish him well.
He's on the road if you see him.
Yeah.
Where's Kevy?
Where's Kevy?
Yeah.
He's
a little like, where's Waldo? Where's Kevy?
But minus the glasses and the stripy sweater. I'm picturing like leather and jean combo.
Yeah. And he likes his little incredibly sexy Captain America shirt.
Oh, my God. On that note, we know that you think that Kevy's sexy.
He is.
Okay. He's not a bad looking guy.
You know, in a pinch.
Yeah. In a pinch.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Wow. We all love you, Kevin.
He's very handsome, but I am taken. But yeah.
We all love you, Kevin.
Yeah.
I guess on that note.
All right.
We'll see y'all next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.